Welcome to another edition of the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Bick.
And we are here to provide you with what we believe is the best information to try to help you understand that you are the person ultimately responsible for looking out for your own best interest, and you're going to do a much better job than anyone else out there.
Except us, of course.
Yes. Well, we're just giving the information that someone can go out and execute upon, and that's...
No, I mean, jokes aside, the real thought is you know yourself better. Mm-hmm. So even if you were to hire an expert, hopefully that most people have, mm-hmm. you still know what your dreams and goals are, and they change all the time. And so to be able to tailor a portfolio exactly to what your needs and requirements are, there's only one person that can really know what those things are, and that's yourself.
Correct. And that is why we're here. Last week, we talked quite a bit about bonds. We're probably going to do a little bit more of that today just because bonds is such a large topic.
And interesting.
Yeah. Might be a little more of a sleeper. We're going to try to make it a little more interesting this week. Last week, it was a lot of the boring facts of this is what a bond is, this is how it works.
Well, unfortunately, when you're trying to learn something, there are, you know, to learn, you just sometimes have to get the information. And right. that can be a little bit dry. But you need this information to be able to make a good, have a good investment philosophy.
Right. Well, definitely, because as boring as bonds are, they are a key component to basically everybody's portfolio out there.
Well, let's hope they're boring.
Yes.
Because bonds should be by nature boring, because you put your money in, you get your coupon payment, your interest payment, and then at the end they send you your money back.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty boring. There's no volatility. There's no movement around the place. It's about as boring as you can get.
Unless you listen to the media.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. But if your bond suddenly turns exciting, meaning that you might not get paid back and your bond price goes drop through the floor, then that's not really the excitement you're looking for.
No, and that's not why you typically would invest in bonds to begin with.
No.
You don't want to be investing in some type of bond unless you know that is a risky event you're investing in, a strategy you're employing by design.
Yeah, and most people don't trade bonds. There's a very different equation to trading bonds and investing in bonds. Most people listening to the show should invest in bonds. So if you're going to invest in bonds, the day you buy the bond, you're going to hold that thing to maturity typically, unless there's some family emergency or you need to liquidate right. for whatever reason. But outside of that, you're basically buying a bond today that you're going to hold until it matures.
Right.
And so you've really just locked in that yield, which is the coupon rate or your interest payment, plus the appreciation or depreciation of the bond price itself back to par. And we discussed all this last time. Yeah. So you might be scratching your brain like, oh, what was that? I can't remember last week. But and that's your yield. And that's all you really need to know.
Right. And that's one of the biggest, I think, confusions out there, because you hear the media talking so much about bonds are going to get decimated yeah. when rates spike.
Well, they will.
Right. But the reality is, when you buy a bond, if it's an individual bond,
right.
you know the terms. They're not going to change over the life that you own it.
Nope. You've locked in
unless
that
you have that event where you have to sell it or some
no,
other
you're,
event.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you're running a risk of what's going on in the market.
Correct. I mean, your monthly statement's going to show the change in the price of your bond. It hasn't changed the yield you're going to get. It really means nothing.
And if you're holding it to maturity, it has not affected the value of that bond yeah. whatsoever.
No, it means nothing, as you say, unless you're not holding it right. to maturity. Then you're open to the vagaries of the movements in the bond market.
Correct.
So, I mean, the issue right now is, of course, with the low interest rate environment, we had a little bit of a spike in the 10-year note, which is sort of the benchmark. If you want to follow a bond, just to be able to give you an idea of, I mean, the 10-year pretty much is the thing that drives mortgages and car payments, and most of the things are tied, you know,
even mortgages nowadays are tied to that. When you see the 10-year moving significantly, you'll hear that mortgage rates are moving in a corresponding manner typically.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to just follow it. It's, you know, easy to follow. It's not hard. They announce it, you know, on CNBC. You watch that. It's every three minutes.
Go to Yahoo Finance. It's right on the top, right underneath where the Dow and the S&P results
yeah.
are for the
so, Dow. I mean, so you'll get that really easily. And so when you see the yield going up, which they called a yield spike, actually, because it sort of spiked up, It got to about 3% about a month or so ago, and everyone got all excited. Now it's back down to 2.4, or just above 2.4%. I mean, it's funny because if you think about it, you know, 2.4, who really cares in the grand scheme of things?
Doesn't sound like a lot.
But when you actually look at the percentage move of that yield, it's huge. I mean, it's 20%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a killing. And when we look out there, you know, the government or the Federal Reserve is incentivized to keep these interest rates low.
Correct.
For the simple reason that they've borrowed $17 or $18 trillion. The Fed's got a $3 or $4 trillion balance sheet now of debt that they've acquired. They are incentivized to keep this low. And what it's doing is it's just killing people's retirement plans, mm-hmm. killing them. Because if you think about bonds, yes, they're boring because they're safe. In reality, they're safe mostly. So that's when you retire. You're looking for a nice bond portfolio that'll give you these nice coupon checks that flow in every month. And that's really what you're looking for is your
stream of income.
Yeah.
That's one of the big purposes of a bond.
Yeah, exactly right. And you look, not only are you looking at that, you're looking at the safety. And then so you've got the safety and the stream of income, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you've got the safety still, I think. You know, it depends where you're putting your money.
Provided it's a high-quality bond.
Exactly right. But you don't have that cash flow stream. You're earning 2.25% on your money.
Right. You do have a cash flow stream, but it's substantially less than what you initially set up. So if you set something up 20 years ago and rates were quite a bit higher, 5 or 6 or maybe even 7 or 8% at that point, and now you're lucky to get 2.5%, that's very, very different from what you were anticipating 20 years ago.
Yeah. You can buy a high income stream. But then you're paying a premium.
Yes.
That's where we're talking about the yield. Mm-hmm. So if you want to buy a higher income stream, you want an income, you want to get a coupon payment or interest payment of 6-7%, they're out there. The problem is to buy that bond, you're going to buy it at such a massive premium.
Right. You may pay an extra 10% or 20%.
Correct. And that's basically what we're talking about, the yield, because that premium you pay will erode down to basically nothing.
Right.
At the life of the bond. So you're losing on that, but you're getting a higher income stream. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you're not going to, there's just no way around it. You're stuck in a low interest rate environment. And unless you've got a huge amount of cash built up or bond portfolio, it's hard to.
If you hit the lotto and win $100 million, 2.5% would look pretty good.
Yep. Now let's rewind that and say, let's say you've got $1 million, which most people, if they've got $1 million, are thinking, I'm there, I'm done, right? That's only $25,000 a year.
Right.
Two grand a month.
Right, especially here locally.
Plus Social Security, so you might be at 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a tough nut to crack, huh?
Right, for San Diego. If you don't have a mortgage and it's just basic living expenses, you might be able to do that.
Yeah.
Depending on where you are, if you're not trying to lead an extravagant life.
No, exactly right.
That could still work, and that's part of what we want to get across, that depending on your own unique situation,
mm-hmm.
simple things can work very well.
No, I mean, I think what we should discuss, you know, in the next segment is what sort of outlook is there? Because I think the consensus on the street is that bond investment, the yield has to go higher, right?
Right, they have to. Well, stick around. When we get back, we will discuss possible directions for bonds. We don't know. Our crystal ball is not any brighter than anyone else's. But you are listening to the Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ 1170 Intelligent Talk Radio.
Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ San Diego.
And online at kcbq.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Bick.
And today we're having our second edition of Bonds 101. So this would be 101A, I guess.
Yeah, this is basically using the knowledge that we gave you last time, and now we're just starting to talk about bonds more in a rounded way.
Right, in ways just, you can use them to your advantage.
And so that you can also start understanding the language and the lingo that's used in this bond market so that when you go there, you actually got some idea of what they're talking about.
Right, or if you see an ad in the paper, and they're talking about different types of yields, current yield, coupon rate, ratings, things like that. You want to be able to understand what that ad says.
And you need to know this stuff. And I know we were going to talk a little bit about where we think maybe there's a, you know, the consensus outlooks and stuff. But outside of that, I mean, just to give you an example of why you need to know this stuff, there were a bond issued by Greece. And I don't know if the listeners know much about Greece, but other than the general stuff, it's in terrible, dire straits. So a Greek bond. I mean, they basically had to write off a whole bunch of bonds. And there was this Greek government bond written. And they basically, the one issue was issued by the Greek government. And the other issue was issued through a subsidiary out of Britain. Same bond, same terms, same everything, except when you read the fine print of the bond. The guys who bought the Greek bond lost, basically got wiped out. The investors who bought the bond that was issued through Britain were covered by British law. So they weren't, that the Greeks couldn't default on that bond. So those people got paid out in full. Same bond, same terms, same interest rate, same backing of the government, same everything, slightly different tweak on the legal system. Mm-hmm. One crowd loses everything, the other guys get everything back plus their interest.
Right. And we talked a little bit about this last week. The backing of that bond, it, like you just showed, is different from bond to bond. Even if it says the same city, it could be San Diego, San Diego, San Diego, but there's different underlying issue or entities that are on the hook, and you want to look and make sure you're comfortable with whatever that entity is. Because Orange County, we talked about this last week, when they filed bankruptcy back in the late 90s, there was a huge panic that every bond issued in all of Orange County was going to be worthless, so people were selling like crazy, causing the prices to drop. And the people that understood the bonds and knew that, well, gee, the tax dollars are still going to come in, mm-hmm. and those tax dollars have to go to pay these bonds back, they were buying these bonds for 60 cents on the dollar. 6 months later, those bonds are back to their full face value.
Yep.
So they made 50% there to get back to the face value, plus they were getting 6 or 7% interest.
Yeah, no, exactly right. You've got to understand those bonds. And the other thing to remember about bonds is, you normally buy to hold to yield to maturity, but first thing you're doing is you've pretty much you haven't directly lent the company the money, but ultimately by buying that bond, you are the lender of your money to this business. So you might want to understand the business or the government or the entity or the whatever it is, the constituency or the municipality, a little bit better before you say, yes, I'm in. Because what you now, otherwise what you're doing is you relying on the rating agencies. Correct. To be able to say, oh, this is a AA bond, good enough. And most people actually do that. They go, AA, okay, I'm in. That's my criteria, as long as the rating agencies have done their work. And that's really what they're meant to do. But they're swamped. I mean, you know, they can't. I mean, they try their best, but it's like anything.
I probably trust them a little more today than I did 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh my gosh!
But it's still, like you said, they are swamped. There's so many issues that they need to review. They just don't have the manpower.
No, and you know, also don't forget who's paying those guys. The bond issuer is paying the rating agencies to issue the bond, so rate the bond. So I mean, there's a little bit of a conflict of interest there. But outside of that. The second thing I wanted to deal with is a bond isn't, it's, don't think of it, and I think most people out there think of a bond as completely illiquid.
Right.
It's not. You can sell the bond tomorrow if you want to.
It is the biggest secondary market in the world.
Correct. Just because it's not a stock exchange and it's not printing every second of the day and it's not being touted by CNBC, mainly because about 90% of bonds don't default. So it gets paid back, so it doesn't make spectacular news, and you don't get a 40% rise in the price of a bond overnight because they, you know, they've got some generic drug or drug that was approved or get killed because they missed earnings and that. It's not exciting news. It's like, most bonds paid back today. I mean, but these bonds are actually being traded by the trillions of dollars across the globe on a daily basis. Right. It's just as active. So
it's
you're
a
not
continuously
locked in
revolving inventory.
Yeah.
Throughout the day, not even just day to day, intraday. There's, if you look at any kind of big trading desk, any bond inventory, they are buying and selling things throughout the day, every day, and their inventory is changing constantly.
Correct. And that's the same, exactly right. Dan, that's a good point. When I was buying a lot of bonds, I'm very active in that market. You're right. I mean, I'd call up and you'd have to shop around, really, and you'd go to different international banks and you'd say, what is your inventory of bonds that you've got for sale? And so they'd have different inventories across the board and you'd eventually find the ones you were looking for, you know, but now it's got a lot more streamlined. Now you can pretty much go on to, you know, your Schwab or whatever account it is, and they'll pull down a ton of bonds that are available right now.
You do a screen for any type of bond. It can be a government bond. It can be a corporate bond. It could be a municipal bond. You name it, it's out there. And you create your own screen and look, and an inventory of hundreds and hundreds of bonds potentially come up.
Yeah, and just to back that up, I mean, the three bonds that Dan mentioned, governments, of course, are issued by the good faith of the government entity.
Most any government across the globe. It's
everyone.
Not just the U.S. government.
They've all got them.
And that's because you always hear of emerging market debt and in Europe, European debt and different things. That is typically what they're talking about, is the sovereign debt of the country.
Well, I mean, take Germany as an example. 60 to 70% of people in Germany own bonds, and only about 40% of people own stocks. So they really aren't enamored with the stock market. Mm-hmm. They're going, you know, we'd rather keep our money safe and earn a small rate of return. So their bond market is way more active. And that's really what people focus on. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, it's all about stocks. As I said, I think it's all just a bunch of hype.
Our media does a better job here, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. But so you're right. So governments across the world all issue debt because they've all got to finance their deficits. So we're just doing the best job at having the biggest deficits. So we've got to issue more bonds than anyone else. But then the next thing you mentioned was municipalities, which essentially are government entities, but they under the municipal structure. So they're local. They're more.
Well, it can be cities.
Correct.
Counties.
Yep.
States.
Correct.
And with those, one of the big advantages of a municipal bond, their rates will tend to be a little bit lower in most situations, although right now I think rates have squeezed so much that you can get pretty
lower
close to the
than
same
what?
Than
corporates yeah.
And even some government bonds.
Yeah, well, not surprising, but yeah.
And with that, the interest is typically tax-free. If you buy a bond anywhere within the state you live in, it typically is both state and federally tax-free.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah, and that helps because now your income is not going to be taxed. When you get correct. Your coupon payment, you don't have to pay tax on that. You're getting it after basically tax-free, which... So then to compare it to a corporate bond, which obviously is issued by anyone who's not a government entity, essentially.
And the easiest one we always talk about is Apple because they issued bonds last year for the first time.
Just because they wanted to. They didn't. They've got $100 billion in cash and they issued a $17 billion bond just to get, now they've got $117 billion. That was great. And then they bought back stock with that and they paid dividends, which is sort of crazy. But anyway, I'm not running Apple.
It was something to do with taxes.
Yes, exactly right. So then you've got the corporates. Now the corporates, of course, you've now bought into that company. You've bought a piece of that business. You're relying on their cash flow stream to be able to pay you back. So it's a little bit more risky. So typically you get a higher rate of return on that. But as Dan just mentioned, you're going to pay tax on that interest right. or that coupon payment.
Which when you look at the net, and this is where a lot of people don't pay attention, they just say, oh, look, I'm making 5%. If you're in a high tax bracket and you're paying 50% in taxes, you're really only making 2.5% at the end of the day.
Yeah, and so suddenly a municipality who's paying 4% is beating them.
Right.
And you need to understand, by a lot. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's better to look and make certain, you know, what's the tax implications to this? So that's something else to think about. But so outside of those, really, those are the main issuers of bonds across the globe.
Right.
And I mean, they've got different names all over the place. We call our bonds treasuries or just bonds. In the UK, they're called gilts. I forget what they're called in Japan. I think they're I used to know.
You're the international bond trader, not me.
Yeah, no, I forgot now. But it was like a samurai. I think it was or something.
Samurai?
Like, yeah.
Right.
But anyway, so everyone's got their own different name. And interesting enough, China's starting to issue a lot of bonds. Not that they really need to, although they are starting to run into problems over there. But one of the ways you become a global currency is you issue a ton of bonds that people can actively buy. And so if you think about interest rates on the global market, one of the games that are being played is that if your interest rate's relatively high, it attracts a lot of foreign capital, which makes your currency stronger because you've got a lot of people buying the dollar, so it keeps your currency strong. And when you look around the world, and we've discussed this, Dan, you look at Japan, Switzerland, Germany, France, all of their 10-year notes. I mean, we're at 2.4. They're at all below 1.
Yeah, that's all the big economies that people refer to as being the pretty stable countries, pretty stable governments.
Yeah, so and they're all paying less than 1%.
Right.
So we're at 2.4, and I know we're all crying in our soup, particularly if you're retired, and I don't blame you. But if you look outside across the globe and you see those yields, it sort of leads me personally, and this is just my thought process, to believe that there's a high probability that yields could go way lower.
Go even lower.
I mean, we could be sitting on a 10-year a year from now, 1.5.
And we're not saying this is going to happen or not. This is just, if you look at some of the pieces, the reality is if you look around the globe, what is still probably the safest place to put money?
Yeah.
In all the countries we've mentioned, they've got a big number of problems to deal with. And I think around the world, they're going to look and say, well, gee, who's paying the most and the most secure? And I got to believe the crosshairs fall here in the U.S.
Well, exactly.
And the more interest there is in our bonds, the more that rate is going to drop because people are going to buy, and that drives the yield right down.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, just think about it. Put yourself in my shoes, which, you know, that was a year ago, or at least 4 or 5 years ago. When I was sitting with $1 billion, I'm looking around the world trying to find yield. If I was looking around now, where would I be buying? You know, it's pretty it's easy.
Right where we are.
Mm.
Well, stick around. When we come back, we will start discussing some possible investment ideas and ways people utilize bonds for their portfolios, whether it's for retirement. But stick around. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors. This is KCBQ 1170 Intelligent Talk Radio.
Keep up with KCBQ hosts and current events. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Look for the icons online at kcbq.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening. You are listening to the Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ. I'm Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Bick.
And we're kind of wrapping up our overview of bonds now here over the last couple shows. So
yeah.
But we're going to get into things that we believe are a little more interesting, some of the ways that people use bonds. First, we're going to cover some of the types and the way they work so that you can understand how and why you would use these in the different strategies.
Well, we have been talking a little bit about that just in the governments, the munis, and the corporates. But one area I want to dig into is, and to try and get you to understand the mindset of a bond. So let's just think about your house. You go to the bank. You borrow some money from the bank. So the bank's now lent you some money on that house. The bank's got the debt, right? You make payments to the bank, and then a year or so later, you get this letter in the mail that says, no longer make the payments to Bank of America, make payments to Century First One
right.
Fund.
Oops,
and you're like, who the heck is that?
Yep.
And so what they've done, the bank ultimately wants to fund the loan, they want to make their points, but then they want to go and do the next one, right? That's where they make the majority of their money. They're not making that much money on servicing the debt and that. So what they do is the bank then gets thousands of properties like yours, and they package them all together.
The different loans they
all of them,
together.
Yep, they put them all together, and then they sell them off. And they sell that loan off as a bond to someone else. They buy it, and then those guys issue a bond. And typically, because a mortgage, you're paying most of the time, you're paying principal and interest. So that bond is receiving principal and interest. So what these guys oftentimes do is they'll take that block. Imagine this now block of 10,000 properties. They carve it up into different what's called tranches, and they issue those tranches out as separate bonds. And knowing that the first bond pays off the quickest because they're going to apply all the principal payments from everywhere to that bond. So that bond's probably got a life of 2-3 years. So they'll make that, let's say, a 2-year note. And then the next tranche will be like a 5-7 year bond, because once that first bond's been paid off, then they'll apply all of it to the next one. And that's how it goes. And so then they carve it up. They get a slightly different spread on those different lengths of maturities. And they make the spread on what they're paying the bank versus what they're getting out in the bond yield.
Right.
So there you go. I mean, that's sort of how it works. What's going on behind the scenes.
Right. Which you really, having a vague understanding is probably more than enough
yeah.
for something like that. Because again, there are terms to that. You will know virtually what you're getting paid. You'll have a pretty good idea how soon you could expect it to be paid off,
yep.
which would typically be accelerated much faster than the stated 30-year maturity or 25 maturity,
yep.
whatever that the normal terms are.
Yeah.
But with that, depending on how you're investing in this bond, you have to be careful because it is returning principal and interest.
Correct.
That you're not spending that entire payment you get from them if you're trying to preserve your principal.
Yep.
Because if you do that, you're going to erode your own principal, because you're going to get this check and it's going to say $1,000 in interest and $500 in principal or the other way around, and you're just going to spend that whole $1,500.
Yeah, it's not all income.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And that takes a little bit of discipline. But most bonds don't do that. Most bonds just pay your interest payments back, and then you get, you know, but most of the time, if IBM's issued the bond, you're sending, you know, the checks are coming from all over the place.
Right.
You know, because they'll also try and spin stuff off at some point, but ultimately they're always on the hook for that money.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And with that, the basic bond, the most common one, like you just talked about, IBM or most municipal bonds or anything else, is just a coupon bond. We've talked about that. The coupon is just a typically a fixed rate of interest that they pay.
Now, so, here we go. Dan's going to get us to the zero.
I'm
I can tell he's setting me up. He's got that glint in his eye over there.
the coupon, it's very predictable. You know exactly the terms of it at the beginning. A zero coupon, that's what Steve just hinted at. It's similar, but
there's no coupon payment.
Correct. It's a little bit backwards in that it's paying interest, but it's paying it into itself.
Yep. So you just get nothing until it all matures, and then you get all your interest and all your principal in one go.
So the way that works is you kind of know what the terms are. You will have a defined, it's yielding 5% or whatever the number is, and you will pay a deep, deep discount. So, for example, you might want to buy $1,000 of a bond, and you might be able to buy that for $200 today.
Yep, because
and then you know in 15 years or 20 years, you will have $1,000. That's correct. What it will grow to. But along the way, you won't make a penny that you see. It's just growing within that bond.
What's the tax consequences? Do you know on that? I mean, is it all just taxed at the end, or do you have to?
It varies. If it's a municipal, typically you're not going to have any tax consequence. There is the term phantom income, where because there are terms underlying this zero coupon and it's growing at some rate, you're going to owe taxes in some case if it's a taxable bond every year associated with the growth of that bond, the interest that is accumulating. Even though you're not seeing it in your pocket, you will have to pay taxes.
Yeah, but that's capital gains, right?
No, or it's income. Just interest.
Is it?
Yes.
Ouch.
So if you were to somehow buy it at a deep, deep discount, more than the rate that it is normally accruing at, then you could get some cap gains.
Yeah, so, I mean, the strategy for that is you don't need the money, you don't need the income, you're just going to plan, and you want, in 10 years' time, you're expecting to need another block of cash.
Right.
I mean, that's really just the strategy for that. But I'm assuming that there's some other benefits to a zero coupon.
Typically, they will yield more than a normal coupon paying bond, and that is because they tend to have the wildest price fluctuations. They are the most at risk. The long-term zero coupon bond fluctuates by far the most of any.
And by the way, and I'm not even going to get into this, but that fluctuation is called duration.
Yeah.
And it's the duration of the bond, and I'm not going to confuse anyone with that.
We discussed if we were going to discuss duration, we determined
we're not going to go there.
It's just too confusing.
Yep. But anyway, so if you've got a high duration, it's pretty much means your bond's going to fluctuate all over the place, and a low duration means it's not. But you don't need to really understand much beyond that.
Right. Right.
We're not going to try and show you how to calculate it.
Right. And with something like a zero coupon, I have seen people use it in many ways. One that is not a bad idea, other than the fact we're in a low interest rate environment, but it is very predictable. You could buy something today that matures in 18, 19, 20 years if you have a newborn child, and that could be a college savings vehicle where you put, like I said, just a few hundred dollars, and it would be thousands of dollars at the time that they're going to use it for college.
You can't do that under your 529 plans,
correct.
Right?
This would be outside.
So you're going to get taxed on that. Mm-hmm. Mm. So that's the one downside to it, but is a good idea.
There is upside to it in the fact that you don't have to worry that 2008 comes around again a year before that child is ready to go to college and you lose 40% of what you've saved.
No, agreed. And also the other side of it is that your child that's going to go to college might decide that he wants a hot dog stand in Maui, rather.
Correct.
Which is supposedly my 12-year-old son's. He's decided that college is for the birds and he's going to have a hot dog stand in Hawaii, which I'm assuming things will possibly change, but maybe they don't.
Right.
And then you could use that bond to pay for the hot dog stand versus the college education, whereas a 529, you're pretty much locked into education.
You do get penalized if the money is used for anything outside of education purposes. So
It gives you a bit more freedom.
Right. That's an additional advantage. Yes, you're going to pay a little bit of taxes, but you'll pretty much know what those taxes are, and you'll know what that value is at that date in the future, where with a 529, there's no guarantee what it's going to be worth because it's subject to the fluctuations
in the stock
market.
Now, the other thing, just while we're on these zero coupons, and as we've said, they have wild fluctuations in value. Mm-hmm. And let's say you decide, look, I'm just locking this in. I'm going to hold it for 20 years, okay? And let's say the 10-year note goes from 2.3 or 2.4 to 1. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but let's assume it does, okay? And now your zero coupon goes from a value of $200 to $2,000. Mm-hmm. It's just as an extreme example.
Numbers out of the air.
Yeah, out of the air, yep. You could, if you think, you know what? You could sell that bond right then.
Correct.
And say, you know what, I'm just going to take this $2,000. I'm taking it out because the gain is so huge. What I might as well just take this gain, find something else, or maybe just wait until, you know, wait a year or so for maybe interest rates to spike again. So those are other alternatives that a zero does give you because of that volatility.
Right.
On the flip side, if you put in $200 and it suddenly the yields go to 4% and your 200 is now worth 50, it actually doesn't matter because you're going to hold it till maturity.
Right. So you're still going to get that $1,000 in the future.
Yep.
And that goes back to what we've talked about. Owning an individual bond of just about any type, you know what the terms are. You know what that bond's going to be worth in the future.
Yep.
And you need to understand that that doesn't mean if rates are fluctuating and you're hearing the panic in the streets, the sky is falling, bonds are going just down and never going to recover, it really doesn't matter to you if you own that bond for that reason and you understand, okay, in the future I'm going to have $1,000.
Yeah, as long as
it doesn't matter that it's only worth $50 today. I know 10 years, 20 years, whatever the term is from now, I have $1,000.
Correct. As long as the institution or the company that's backing that bond is solid.
Correct.
You know, if that business goes or that government entity, let's just, you know, I mean, let's take Zimbabwe as an example. You're not going to rush out and buy a Zimbabwean bond. I mean, you know, inflation's at 1,000,000% or whatever it is, and the chance of getting paid back are virtually zero. So, you know, you've got to also evaluate who you've lent the money to, because ultimately you're the lender. So you've got to evaluate, is your money safe? And that's really why they say bond investors are more savvy than stock investors. Mm-hmm. Stock investors are more, it's almost a gamble. It's like a bet on future cash flows. Bond investors say, you know what? We just want to really do a due diligence on this business or this entity to make sure we get our money back. And
right.
And so it's a far more thorough investigation of the business or the entity than a stock investor does.
And the reality is there is a reason most of the ultra wealthy people tend to invest primarily in bonds and fixed income type vehicles.
Yeah, and businesses.
Yes.
Yeah. No, exactly right.
Well, what's next? There's multi-step coupon bonds, which that's a pretty simple, basic thing. You start at one rate, maybe a year or two down the road, it moves up a little bit. So maybe, for example, it starts at 1% this year. Next year, it goes up to 2%. The 2 years after that, it goes up to 3%. It'll stop at some point. It's never going to go far exceeding what current rates are. But that can give you a little more bang for your buck. If you think rates might go up, this is a way to hedge against that. If you think they're going to go down, you're going to do much, much better owning something like that.
No, for sure. But it's obviously going to be priced into what the market expectations are.
Usually they have it priced where they say your yield will be, assuming it makes it to the maturity and these changes in the price or the changes in the interest rate, you're going to net 4.5% or something.
Yeah, I mean, the point to this discussion really, if you haven't gathered it yet, I mean, the thing to realize is that there's a different bond for every situation.
Correct.
As long as they can be creative, they're going to make up a new style of bond.
Right. Well, as we're talking about these things, if you have a bond portfolio or you have a stock portfolio, you're not sure if you're doing the right things, we definitely would love for you to reach out. We will give you a totally unbiased just review of what you have and hopefully point you in the right direction, maybe open your eyes to some things. And if you have a good portfolio, we're going to be the first ones to tell you, hey, you're doing a great job. Congratulations. Don't change a thing. But you can reach out to us, 858-764-7250, 858-764-7250. 7250. You are listening to the Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ 1170 Intelligent Talk Radio.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, San Diego.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. I'm Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Bick.
And we are the Portfolio Doctors, where we are trying to do our best to give you the most up-to-date and best information you can use to your advantage and do what's best for you, because ultimately, you know what your situation is better than anyone else.
Correct. And I want to just say thank you to everyone who's called in. We've had, a number of calls.
Yes.
Given away a number of books. In fact,
you don't have any left at this point.
I know. They took all my books, which is great. I might have get a few more back in at some point. But, given away. Hopefully those that received them have enjoyed them. And I'd always appreciate some input from them. Let me know what they thought. We've had a couple of calls. One in particular that springs to mind is someone called in and said that they have a balloon payment coming up and obviously can't afford to make that whole balloon payment and what sort of options are available. And certainly there's tons of options. It's a little bit of a unknown, because we don't really know all of the facts.
Due to regulatory issues, we aren't allowed to just make a blanket, well, just go do this, because we do not know enough of the facts. So we definitely need to know more of what the whole situation is to be able to give you the potentially the best solution.
Yep. And you know, obviously you can call in and you know, give us some more information or just sit down with us. We're happy to go over your entire situation.
Right.
But I mean, you know, the obvious answer that springs to mind is just refinance what you've got. I mean, I don't even know if that's an option right now, because it might be, but there are always alternatives. Mm-hmm. There always are.
And with mortgage rates, I mean, it has all of a sudden become a good time to review your mortgage and see, because rates have moved back down with the 10-year, as the 10-year has
correct. And
dropped.
And the other thing, you know, in this type of situation, a lot of times people get panicked because maybe this balloon payment's coming up pretty soon. maybe the credit's not exactly what it was. Now that we don't have the loan requirements have got a lot more stringent. Banks are becoming a lot more stringent to lend money. So maybe a lot of those normal types of options are taken away. Mm-hmm. And that's really when the panic sets in, because it's like, my word, I can't actually refinance this house. I don't have the income I need. I don't have anything that I need to do this refinance. But there are alternative lenders out there. Mm-hmm. That assuming that there's equity in the house, would be happy to step in and fix this problem.
Correct.
You know, it might cost a little bit more, but you haven't lost your house to the bank. You haven't had to come up with, you know, the masses of money. So there definitely are always solutions. But we really need a clear understanding of the situation to be able to give you a proper answer.
Correct. And again, if there are any topics... We've covered many topics in our brief history as the Portfolio Doctors.
Yeah.
And between us, we have not quite, we're just ticking on it now, 50 years almost.
You're too young, man. But no, we are, yep. And, you know, we've just really started the show over here recently, which is why we started at the bottom of the whole portfolio. We've started with cash investing. We've now moved on to bonds. You know, we want to talk about annuities. We want to talk about stocks. We want to talk about housing. We want to talk about alternative investments and international style investments. And we're going to build on this knowledge. And, you know, each week we're going to slowly introduce new topics to educate you and bring you up to speed.
Right.
And then hopefully at some point, you know, you've got it all under control. But there's always, I mean, we're always learning. Everyone's learning all the time.
Correct. I get tons of newsletters and magazines, and I know every time I see you, you've got a stack of magazines you're reading to get up to date on the latest and greatest
things. The stack doesn't seem to get smaller. That's the problem. But yeah, exactly. You know, you've got to keep up on this, and it's so important because this is your future. This is your livelihood. This is how you're going to retire. This is what's going to make you, you know, happy and allow you to live the retirement that you want. And you need to be educated. People just don't put enough attention or time into understanding their investments. It's sort of pushed under the rug in the hopes that it's going to take care of itself. And then a lot of bad decisions are made. And what we're trying to do is just educate you out there to be able to give you the tools to be able to make better, you know, decisions when it comes to investing. But certainly we've been talking about bonds for the last two topics. One thing we haven't really touched on is ways to get into bonds. I mean, we have mentioned that you can just buy the individual bonds. And in actual fact, I believe that's really the best way to go. That's just my personal
opinion. In many instances, I would agree.
Yeah.
We can't make that blanket statement that that's best for everyone.
No, that's my opinion, in many
cases, just because of the clarity and you know exactly what you've got and what it pays versus there's basically two other ways you can invest in bonds. One would be the traditional mutual fund.
Yep.
There are plenty of mutual funds that offered various bond strategies.
Mm-hmm.
The other would be ETFs, which is essentially the same thing. Lots of different ways to invest in bonds, short-term, long-term, medium-term, high yield, low yield, investment grade, governments, you name it. All of those possibilities are out there, but you need to understand with both of those possibilities, you are subject to a lot more market risk.
Correct.
Just because they trade like stocks.
Correct.
And over the last 5 years, when the market goes up, everything in the market goes up. Mm-hmm. When the market goes down, everything in the market has been going down. So even if you own a bond ETF that should do well when the stocks are going down, they have tended to go down with the stocks as well.
I know. It was just amazing to me to see that happen in 2008. Mm-hmm. I remember having a few of my clients had mutual funds that were in bonds, and I remember looking over and just watching them getting killed, and they should have been going up.
Right.
Doesn't and it just because people were selling those bonds out, and they were just, you know, the price of the stock was just going down.
Correct.
But it, you know, you can create a laddered effect of your bonds. You can create buying individual bonds so that things are maturing all the time, so you're getting your proper coupons and interest payments that you need. And you don't have to have millions of dollars to do that.
Not at all. Many bonds, municipals are a little bit different in that you have to buy minimum increments of $5,000 at a time if you're buying an individual. But most other bonds, you can buy as low as $1,000 per bond.
Yeah.
So it's not a huge price point.
No.
But it is possible. Well, that about wraps us up again for a beautiful San Diego Saturday, so we're going to try to get out. Are you heading back to the beach?
I might try and go surf again. You never know. But, yeah, and my mic didn't fall asleep on me this time.
You kept it alive.
Yeah.
Fine work, Todd. Well, again, any topic we cover, if there's a question that's left lingering that you didn't get answered, or if there's a topic you would like us to cover in more detail, we would love to hear from you. This is how we're building our shows and our future shows, is from listeners' questions, and we're getting a lot of those, so we're trying to build from that. You can reach either of us via email. My email is dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. You can reach steve@theportfoliodoctors.com. You can access any of our old podcasts on iTunes.
There's a lot of them.
Just search The Portfolio Doctors, I believe, or visit our website, theportfoliodoctors.com. We have a box there. If you want more information or you have a question, just log your email, throw your question in there, and we'll do our best to get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you very much again for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ in San Diego. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, please call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.